Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of United Breweries Limited, hosted by Investec Capital Services. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor from Investec Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kapoor.
Yeah, thank you, Margaret. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, we would like to welcome all the participants as well as the senior management of United Breweries on the Q1 call of UBL. We have with us from senior management, Mr. Berend Odink, CFO, and Mr. P.A. Poonacha, Finance and Investor Relations. I'll now hand over the call to Berend for his opening remarks, after which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Berend.
Thank you, Harit, and good afternoon, everybody on the call. Thank you for joining. Today we will discuss the results of the first quarter. As Harit said, I'm here together with Mr. Poonacha. After the opening comments, we will be very happy to take any questions. We'll start with the results highlights for the quarter. The company posted volume growth of 121% in the quarter versus prior year, where the prior year was impacted by the Delta variant of COVID. Driven by recovery of demand prevalent across all markets, the company posted 42% sequential quarterly volume growth. The quarter made a record sales volume, which also represents a full recovery and 8% ahead of 2019 pre-COVID levels of volume. The premium segment recorded growth ahead of the total portfolio. Price increases taken in key states, with further options are being pursued for further increases. Gross margin was impacted by the commodity price inflation. The combination of cost and efficiency measures and fixed cost leverage resulted in an EBIT margin of 8.9%, up 480 basis points versus prior year quarter. The record volumes were achieved despite a number of supply chain restrictions seen in the peak season. Moving to the next page, there's a summary table for the quarter results, with net sales up 118% to 2,437 crore, and EBIT up by 370% to 218 crore at a margin of 8.9%. Turning to the regional volume growth, we have seen following the record March performance, a good continuation of demand with strong recovery for all markets, with volume growth of 121% versus the prior year COVID impacted quarter. North posted 87% growth, particularly in Rajasthan, Haryana, Delhi and UP. West posted 167% growth with higher volumes in Maharashtra, Goa, Madhya Pradesh and Surat. In East, the company reported 88% growth, mainly in the states of Odisha, West Bengal, Assam and Arunachal. In South, there was 162% growth, with the key states being Telangana, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, Kerala and Andhra Pradesh. Turning to the net sales, these were up 118% in the quarter, and as earlier said, driven by 121% in terms of volume. Pricing was up 9%. Increases have been realized in multiple states, including Haryana, Karnataka, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Odisha, Rajasthan, Telangana and UP. The company continues to pursue options of further price increases wherever possible. The negative mix variance resulted in a -12% due to state mix, with different volume growth observed across states with different levels of net revenues. Moving to the next page on EBIT breakdown. The gross profit growth was driven by volume growth and price increases. Gross profit margin, as earlier stated, was impacted by the commodity price increases in raw and packaging materials, The improved margin was driven by fixed cost leverage and various savings initiatives, and the negative gross margin impact was more than offset by the other cost items that show margin improvement, resulting in a 8.9% EBIT margin. Finally, on the outlook and summary, following the record volumes and recovery beyond 2019 demand levels, the focus remains on building further category penetration while driving the share of premium in the portfolio. CapEx investments during quarter were 44 crore, with the volume growth during the quarter resulting in an ongoing review of capacity plans to meet future demand. But although commodity prices remain elevated, there are some indications that spot prices are softening. The company has focused on security of supply given the peak season and volatile commodity markets. UBL is in the process of pursuing the further price increases in combination with continued cost measures to mitigate this impact. And in light of the strong demand witnessed in the peak season, post the earlier COVID-impacted period, UBL remains optimistic about the long-term growth drivers of the industry on the basis of GDP growth, urbanization, and evolving consumer trends. And UBL is well positioned to leverage and drive these opportunities. With that, I'd like to conclude the opening remarks, and let us please move to the Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abneesh Roy from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks and congrats on very good volume growth. So my first question is on your essentially slide number 8, where you have given the minus 12% mix variance. You have mentioned differential volume growth across state. Now, when I see the previous slide, the West and South India has grown much faster. Now, West and South India is normally seen as the more premium market. So is the pricing here lower? Could you explain why minus 12 is happening?
Yes, thank you for the question. So it's really about different growth rates state by state, but also the element factoring into this quarter, of course, that we compare to prior year COVID-impacted quarter, which was, of course, in that sense, not a typical quarter. Furthermore, we also have observed, let's say, supply restrictions that meant sometimes less than optimal sourcing, meaning that where demand was high, some of the states implemented export restrictions, so that meant different supply routes than we would normally use. But to your point, indeed, there are states with higher and lower revenue per case. So, for example, Telangana has a relatively lower realization per case, but outperforms in terms of growth, and that's an example of the negative mix that we refer to.
Sure, thanks. Given the YOY comparison is extremely difficult to draw any conclusion, my question is on the 8% higher volume versus pre-COVID. So here, if you could tell us which states or which regions have grown faster versus pre-COVID, the 8% number which you mentioned, which one has been laggard and which has been the outperformer?
Sure. So we have seen across the board, particularly compared to 2019, strong growth in states like UP, Haryana, West Bengal, Orissa, and as I earlier mentioned, Telangana, coupled with sometimes share increases. States that are marginally lower is, for example, Maharashtra, Kerala, and of course, Andhra Pradesh, where we know that in early 2019 there was a different excise policy than today in place.
And one follow-up here, sir. So Maharashtra and Kerala, the underperformance Is it because of the general GDP issue there, or the regulations are a bit more favorable in UP, Bengal, Odisha? What is the reason for the trend which you mentioned?
Yeah, I think there are various reasons. In Maharashtra, for example, we know that the differential excise policies for the other alcohol industries are a little bit less favorable. Also here, we went first with a price increase in the States during the quarter. So there could be sometimes elements of pricing that impacted, particularly if you compare across 3 years. But I think overall, if you look at the totality across all the states, we see a very consistent recovery and even demand levels during the quarter above 2019.
Right. And last question. So obviously, harsh summer would have benefited you. So this 8% growth versus COVID, or say quarter on quarter growth of 41%, etc. Any sense you can give us, is there a market share gain within beer? Is there a market share gain for beer industry from spirit? Because United Spirits had a much lower number. So any insights you can give us on that?
So I think, of course, we have now witnessed, let's say, an unimpacted peak season for us. I think we're all positive about the demand recovery that we have seen, given also, of course, the limited visibility during 2 years impacted in the peak season by COVID. So it's good to note that consumers are back and above 2019 levels. I think some of the weather patterns, of course, also helped in some of the space. So I think, yeah, it has been a good quarter for beer issuance.
Okay. Thanks, that's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilaisha from Moon Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ivan. The first question is on what you mentioned in terms of the Heineken review in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh. So sub-questions around that. So first of all, why is Heineken kind of taking the initiative to take the review? Shouldn't it be the management? Should we read something into this?
Well, I think that it's fairly customary that upon obtaining majority control, that Heineken and UBL started together a integration review. So I will say that's a very logical step.
Okay, and does this review also cover the purview of perceived corporate governance risks of operating in certain markets, or is this just a pure financial and portfolio review?
No, it's a pretty broad review, and again, it's very customary. As I said, after obtaining majority control in the company, it's across all kind of functions, portfolio, processes, etc. So that's, I would say, fairly standard.
Great. And could you throw some light on what exactly Heineken is trying to achieve out here? Because United Spirits had a similar sort of shift, and when that happened, we saw that there was a major dip in volumes in the state of Tamil Nadu when they basically were changing what is, I think, effectively the same distributor that you guys also have. So should we expect a major dip in the volumes, at least in the near term, as you may go alone or solo in that market without the agency partner?
No, I think as with any change in operating model, one cannot predict exactly the impact of such a change. So the operations will be monitored closely, but as we stated, there has not been an impact on the sales of the quarter June ended. So I think that's also clear.
And over the course of the next 2-3 quarters, should we expect some disruption?
What we said, we will closely monitor that, but we cannot predict exactly how the future will look like, of course.
Okay. So could you tell us how much of your total volumes comes from Tamil Nadu and Andhra?
So combined, those two states are around 10% of our volume.
10% of volume, okay, great. The second bit is on pricing. You mentioned 9% pricing. How is this calculated? Is this just simply the net revenues minus your volume growth, the net revenue growth less the volume growth? Which is to say that is this on net sales pricing, or has the consumer price on an average across the country gone up by 9% when they buy the UBL brands?
No, it's slightly different. So it's been calculated as the price realization for us as a manufacturer. That would not necessarily correspond exactly to consumer prices, because there could be differences in the value chain with excise, of course, being a key component. So hence we separated also the volume impact and the mix variance from that. But just to give some context, this 9% is really what has been, let's say, realized year over year for the quarter. In the quarter itself, we've increased prices in the states that where we increased. Those states represent around 2/3 of our volume. So just to give you a perspective of the impact of pricing.
Could you just kind of give us some view on how much has been the price increase in, let's say, states like Karnataka or Maharashtra, where it's been relatively free pricing for the company?
Yes, so if you look at the consumer price levels, for example, then you talk about ranges, I would say, between 3 to 7%. So it's relatively, I would say, benign, given the overall context of inflation. And of course, that reflects a balanced approach, looking at the competitive situation of the beer category, but also the total alcohol category. Also the possibilities to increase prices, yes or no. So that's the elements that go into the mix when we look at the options for pricing.
Sure. And finally on, barley prices, it's been trading in a very, very tight range since the big uptick which we saw in March. Have you guys been tracking what the global barley sourcing or the view on global pricing is, let's say for, out 6 months or something of that sort, just to get a sense of how this commodity is likely to behave into the next season in India?
Yeah, we continuously monitor not only domestic prices, but of course also international barley prices. So we continue to review our buying strategy, the quantity, the sourcing, etc. The domestic buying season has been pretty much completed. Of course, there can be quantities brought to the market and be traded in the months to come, but for the majority, it's typically completed. So, yeah, as you said, the prices have been quite up. So last time we spoke about close to 70%. And we will have to see next year, of course, the new pricing for the new crop. And that we continue to monitor also respectively, of course, what's happening in international barley prices in terms of not only the pricing level, but also the quantities.
But no sense at this stage on, say, for example, the source, the sowing of the crop in Ukraine and how that is going along, because there's really a lack of visibility on that front.
Yes, you're right. The international situation remains, of course, very dynamic. There is, of course, some developments of potential exports out of Ukraine, but, I think we will see week by week. That remains, I would say, relatively uncertain. And, it's even further more important to follow the international contract, the international availability, so that one has always the various options under constant monitoring. But as you say, the overall market, particularly with the situation on the macroeconomic level remains quite uncertain.
Sure. So I just one last question on volumes. While the recovery has been from pre-COVID levels now, and I think even Budweiser reported a similar number, the question really is that, you know, a 2.5% volume CAGR versus pre-COVID is not really great. Would you expect an acceleration in volume growth over the course of the next few quarters, or do you think the macro environment restricts that particular acceleration at this point in time?
Yeah, I think if you compare to 2019, we reported 8%. I think if we would exclude the state of Andhra that went into a complete different excise policy in the meantime, then you talk about the 14% volume growth. Again, I don't think you can year over year expect the same trend given the disturbance that happened due to COVID. But as I said, we're, I think, optimistic about the start of this year. We have a good peak season, and we, of course, calibrate our plans, our capacity plans in particular, as to the next year peak season, and yeah, hopefully we can continue on a good good momentum.
Super. Thank you very much for your answers, Bennett. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Chopra from J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Barin. My question was around the cost and margins. You talked about barley already. I wanted to check, you know, what are the 7% we're incrementally getting on glass and aluminium prices? And how should we think about gross margins? Did Q1 basically account for the peak inflation being reflected, or do you sense there's going to be further higher inflation that you anticipate in Q2? And with incremental pricing that you're hoping for, you know, where do you see, you know, gross margins will likely balance out versus what you reported in Q1?
Yes, let me start with the gross margin, let's say in general. So we would expect that compared to this quarter that we going forward see some improvements in gross margin. So we've always said it will take a bit of time given the nature of the industry where pricing is, of course, quite restricted. So that will take a couple of quarters, but on the one hand, the higher barley and some of the higher glass that is now coming in to the full quarter is relevant. On the other hand, at the same time, the pricing realizations and increases during this last quarter will also, of course, then count for full quarter. So net-net, we would expect some improvements versus the gross margin reported in this quarter. On glass, it remains quite inflationary, driven by the underlying input cost of soda ash and energy. The collections on glass have actually been very good on a normative level for the peak season. Aluminium, I think that's one area where spot markets have been trading down recently. Now we look at the risk management approach to hedging that aluminium for future periods. So that is something we look to tap into those opportunities as well. So all in all, what we said, a high commodity price environment, also still quite volatile, but hopefully step by step, we're passing through the low point, so to say.
Sure. And if I look at the other costs, you know, employee costs moved up sequentially. Wanted to understand what's the kind of run rate one should anticipate given, you know, you saw some restructuring, right? So you saw, one thought that there's going to be some benefits of that going in. So what should be the quarterly run rate one should anticipate on employee costs? And also if you could flag anything very substantial sitting in other expenses, which also, you know, moved up significantly, you know, on a sequential basis. And what are the sustainable levels there as well? Thank you.
Yeah. So for employee expenses, you may have to factor in that during this peak season, we hire more contractual labor to cater the higher volumes. Or when we compare to the prior quarter, I think that gives you a sense of some of those differences in growth. On the other expenses, this includes, for example, our commercial spend, which have been around 100 basis points higher versus prior year, which was, of course, COVID impacted. But there are also other expenses, which is, for example, freight or sales promotion expenses or related fuel costs. So those, of course, have been impacted to a certain extent due to commodities and volume growth seen in the course.
Sure. And now it was on CAPEX. You know, you talked about your evaluating or reviewing your CAPEX plans. So if you could share some color on what kind of capacity additions, you know, you were looking at and what amount you intend to spend. Thank you.
Yeah, for the current financial year, we continue the guidance of CAPEX towards some range of around 250 crore. But beyond that, as we indicated, then we would probably be on a higher level given the utilization rates observed in the current quarter. And yeah, we will then proceed basically on a region-by-region basis as to where expansions will take place and how do we go about that in terms of own breweries or working with the partners, etc. So that will be part of the evaluation. But again, in the current financial year, that guidance on CAPEX remains the same.
Sure. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishnan Sambamurthy from Motilal Oswal Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. One clarification and two questions. Berin, when you said consumer price increase of 3 to 6%, were you specifically referring to Maharashtra and Karnataka, or were you talking about that and over the rest?
Sorry, could you repeat the question? The line was not clear.
In response to one of the previous questions, you had mentioned that there was consumer price increase of between 3 to 6%. I just wanted a clarification whether you are referring specifically to Maharashtra and Karnataka, which are free pricing markets, or you are talking about price increases at a blended level.
Yeah, so the 3 to 7% range are the is kind of the range for those states where we implemented. That those are the more typical impact on consumer price levels. But for the states of Karnataka and Maharashtra, you would have to think of the lower end, so some towards the 3% in terms of consumer price change.
Sure. That's useful. Perhaps not coincidentally, you mentioned UP, Haryana and West Bengal as markets where you have done better compared to 2019 levels. Given that these are markets where there is a differential access between beer and spirits, are the volumes far better than expected, and B, are you seeing any cannibalization of spirits demand? So they are growing significantly higher than spirits in these markets?
Yeah, there are, of course, correlations to the improvements in the excise policy, particularly, of course, if you talk about states like West Bengal or the same way some of these states we have seen good share performance from us. That helps, of course, as well. I think the premiumization trend is also consistently there. So these are all elements that lead to some of these states outperforming the total. And hence, yeah, it remains very important to continue the advocacy and the policy engagement on the in the other states. So I think these are clear examples of some of those results.
Okay. My last question is on Haryana and at 4% has introduced a lower tax rate slab for beer at 4% alcohol, since I think Schmidl has also done the same. Have you also addressed the portfolio so that you are introducing products at this particular alcohol plus?
No, not specifically for Haryana, but in general we continue a lot of consumer research and insights to look at the trends. So from a perspective of excise policy, I would say that one angle, but more importantly, I would say from a consumer perspective, that is continuously under review. And if we feel that there are sufficient indications that this alcohol slab has a good potential out there, then of course we will pursue it. So in that sense, those things are continuously under consideration. But so far we have not felt that, particularly for the example of Haryana, but in instance that you mentioned, that we would launch a product there.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is more to do with the point 8 in the notes to accounts, where you mentioned on, you know, the intimation being received and sort of review of the justification and appropriateness of commercial terms. So can you elaborate more on this thing as to, you know, the requirement to do this, what could be the possible outcomes that you would be evaluating, etc., and the timelines for the same? That's my first question.
Well, on the timelines, what we have stated, the review is expected to be completed shortly. It's also important to say that we continue to monitor the operations, the sales in the two states where we have implemented the change have not been impacted. So I think those are key elements as to how we look at it.
Okay, so basically, just to get it right, this is largely to do with your commercial terms in the state of Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh only.
Yeah, those are the two states where we have said that we want to implement also a tighter and more direct grip on our route to market. As you know, every state is unique, but at this stage, there are no further statements to make on any potential changes that they might have said.
Got it. Fairly clear. My second question is on the other expense line item. Now, if I were to look at some of the key cost line items, you know, be it outward freight, distribution expense, and sales promotion expense. Now, these three are usually the large pockets. Now, you know, we have seen some bit of a savings in FY21 and 22. Now it could be temporary in nature because of low volumes, etc. But you know, on a sustainable basis, say a distribution expense going down from about 3.5% to sub 3%, and sales promotion from over 5.5 to around 4.6%. So, and you know, in light of the cost savings that you typically allude to, can we see, you know, this ratio settling somewhere between the pre-COVID level and the current level, or you think you know, there's not much leeway in this items didn't go back to the pre-COVID levels?
Yeah, I think your approach is right to look at it as a percentage of top line. I would point out that, of course, in this quarter, we also had a negative state mix, which impacted this ratio to a certain extent. But as to one of the earlier questions, the cost itself, sales promotion is also driven by the mix in the quarter. And freight, of course, there's an important fuel component, commodity related in that as well. So looking at the commodities and how they will trend, also has a bearing here on the fixed cost line item of other expenses.
Okay, so basically the distribution expense, sales promotion expense will sort of inter from here. Is that understanding correct? As a percent of sales? Or unable to comment at the current juncture?
Yeah, I would not directly say it's on a continuous trend or moving back, because it's very much dependent on topics what I mentioned, like state mix, but also power and fuel type of rates, freight rates. So yeah, let's see how that trends in terms of the global market in India.
Okay, perfect. And just one clarificatory question. So the excise duty rate this quarter was around 53%. You know, just from my understanding, is it largely to do with, you know, the state mix that you talk about? And as the share of premium portfolio goes up, the percentage of excise, would it typically go down a bit? That's the clarification that I want. Thank you.
The excise indeed would be to a large extent also driven by state mix, because the rates of course are different. Directly I would say that the more premium the product, the higher the excise component as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Tarani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. Firstly, I just want to get understanding in terms of price hikes for most states. How confident are you of getting price hikes in most states in the next 2 to 3 quarters? And what will be the quantum of that? Similar, about 3 to 6% or higher than that?
Yeah, so the price increase is what we tend to realize in the first quarter, or of course the majority, in the sense that once excise policies are known, then it's a logical moment to apply for any changes or any adjustments also coming from an excise change perspective. But it's not a, let's say, a full Q1 activity only. We continue to represent in other states throughout the year. So we do think there are further opportunities, maybe not to the same extent as quarter one, because as I said earlier, in two-thirds of our volume base, we have realized the price increase, which I think is a pretty good outcome. Having said that, that also means that there are other states without price increase, so that is something we continue to pursue. And even there is a possibility, of course, that other states you might revisit within 1 year potentially for increases as well. So that's all under review by the company.
Right. So basically, one should not ideally pencil in both sides, like in the balance states for this year, at least next year, whatever comes may come. That's right.
Yeah, so the realizations for the Q1, of course, are now known. Further steps can be taken later in the year, but I think you're right. The majority normally takes place in Q1. That's what we published in the results.
Right. And the second question was around barley. So apparently the procurement for barley generally happens in the month of April to somewhere June, you know, those 3 months. So in terms of, you know, you procuring barley, have you procured that for the entire year, or you'll be doing it in cases because the price was so high, you'd probably wait for the prices to come down and do that? I mean, what's the barley procurement thing right now?
Yes, you're right. We're looking at that not from a 12-month perspective. So, of course, the first priority is to make sure there's continuity of supply. So that has been the focus during the peak season, also for the coming months, that is secured. But as the year progresses, we will continue to look at availability, at pricing, and looking at domestic markets, even international markets, so as to hopefully ultimately secure at the right price levels throughout the year.
Right, so there could be a positive impact of lower prices on barley in coming quarters.
No, the coming quarter is already secured, but if you will extend the horizon up to next year peak season, yeah, then there there are still open positions, so indeed if prices move down or hopefully not closely go up, then that could still be an impact.
Got it. Just one last thing, second reason, specifically, you know, in terms of distribution, we've been hearing that, you know, many states are going easy for beer as a product, and, you know, a lot of distribution is now taking place to a lot of premium retail outlets. Can you kind of highlight which are the key states here, you know, who are doing these kinds of moves, and what is the possible impact on volume growth because of this?
Yeah, so we have seen, I think, a couple of states in their policies also kind of prescribing the type of outlet and in general, yeah, a minimum square footage, a minimum set of display of stock, walk-in, sometimes even other elements of convenience for consumers. So I think in general this is very positive for the consumer experience, where yeah, there are clearly opportunities to improve that. And to your question, that helps the premium portfolio, of course, as well. So I think it's a good step, and it's something also we support with our trade programs and in terms of yeah, in-shop displays and activations. And Delhi is one example where we've seen quite a lot of change in the last 12 months, we support that.
Right, thanks. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Trilok from Diamond Asia. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, when I was looking at the cost, particularly other OPEX, you know, prior versus pre-COVID, you know, that seems to be a little on a higher side. Could you, beyond, you know, freight and fuel costs, which is alluded in one of the previous participant question, you know, response, is there anything, you know, which you think has, you know, taken the cost very high, or that's the normalized, you know, way of looking at this?
So really the elements we lined out earlier, so it's about freight, fuel, sales promotion, those are really the bigger categories in the other expenses, and what I said, that's partly mix driven, it's partly quality driven, it's of course the volume component of the quarter, and what was earlier is around 100 basis point impact also compared to prior year higher advertising spend. So that's it.
So the sales promotion expenditure should, I mean, what's the, you know, percentage do you, you know, would you like to continue given the fact that, you know, the momentum may continue?
Yeah, we have been relatively active in support. And of course, with good volume outcomes. Now that we move into a couple of months of lower demand, we would also expect it to take down a bit.
Understood. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chinmay Gandre from the Reliance Nippon Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the question. So I just wanted to understand that during the peak season, what were our capacity utilization across the states? And coming to the next peak season, which will be next year, if we are at near peak capacity utilization in the current season and we have not yet embarked on any major capacity addition or what kind of evaluating state by state. So how should we look at the next season from a capacity point of view?
It was difficult to fully understand the question due to the quality of the line, but I think I got the gist of it about capacity utilization. So that was close to 90% for the last peak quarter that we just reported on, number of breweries running at maximum capacity. So this is part of the review that we spoke about in the release for next peak season to augment capacity or make sure there's optimal cross-sourcing where applicable. We will continue to look at the right investments behind the infrastructure. If I didn't answer part of your question, please.
So my question is basically with respect to the next peak season next year. So because we are still in planning stage with respect to the capacity, so how long will the new capacities take time to come on stream, and for the next peak season would we have to live with the current capacity itself, and thereby not much of a major update from the coming volumes?
I think the actions are both, near term for the next peak season, but also, of course, if you talk about, for example, putting new bottling lines or potentially complete brew housing in place, yeah, that will take more than 9 to 12 months. So that is why we look at both avenues in terms of short to long term, and as I said earlier, we also have contract manufacturers in the network, so we also cooperate and work with them in terms of the investment plan. So that's the growth approach.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal Kudinia from Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a strong volume growth. Firstly, just a clarification. So when we talk about next peak season, are we talking about 4Q or are we referring to 1Q of next fiscal year?
That will be next year, let's say March to June.
Okay. And secondly, if you could highlight the growth trends between on-trade and off-trade for the current quarter, that would give a good insight in terms of how things are panning out across the channels and also the mix between those channels for the quarter.
Yeah, if you're looking at on-trade and off-trade growth vis-a-vis that is April.
YY growth in on-trade and YY growth in off-trade, yeah.
April, June quarter last year vis-a-vis this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Here you see that the on-trade growth is higher because last year, first quarter in many states or almost all states, there was a clampdown on locations where beer is consumed at the point of sale, so it is on trade. So there you see phenomenal growth, while the growth in the retail or what you call off trade would be less when compared to the growth in on trade.
Okay, and what would be the mix now for this quarter?
Sorry?
Mix between off-trade and on-trade for us?
It would be in line with pre-COVID levels because if you go back to pre-COVID, that is to 2019, it would be in line with that.
Which would be 25-30 on-trade?
70-30. 70 would be off-trade and 30 would be on-trade.
Oh, understood. Just lastly, so premium segment has done or grown ahead of the overall portfolio for this quarter. What would be the mix of premium for us now?
That will be in the high single digits. That is also above, as we said, last year's quarter, but also 2019.
Okay, understood. Thank you for the responses.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chadha from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just seeking clarity, there are a lot of changes in the beer as a category from a taxation perspective in a lot of states, the distribution touch points also seem to be rising specifically for wine plus beer combi outlets. So I'm just wondering why is then the volume CAGR just about 2% on a 3-year volume CAGR, as of now, what were the misses, and considering these two, three big changes that are happening, how do you see the volume CAGRs for beer as a product for us or for the industry, whichever way you want to comment? And my second question was on the pricing side. Did I hear that most states tend to take pricing on an annual basis, which is quarter one, and hence there is no large price increases which are supposed to happen over the next couple of quarters until quarter one of next year? Is that the case that you mentioned?
Yeah, the, first on the volume outlook and back to your question. So generally I would say that the outlook in terms of volume would be probably around 6 to 8% per year. Of course, that can be skewed higher or lower by policy changes, etc. But I think underlying there are strong fundamentals that that support that. So your question as to the back loop, yeah, earlier to a question explained that the longer the takeout, the state of Andhra 2019, then this quarter has shown 14% growth versus 2019. And then, yeah, one has to factor in that, of course, a lot of the disruption and trends were impacted 2 years subsequently from COVID. On the pricing side, I think it's a bit more nuanced in the sense that if you run, it's typically the quarter where most price actions are taken, and that's what we want to indicate. At the same time, it doesn't mean that nothing else is on the cards for other states, etc., in the remainder of the year. So, and that's why we indicated that the company continues to pursue these options where possible.
So this outlook of 6 to 8% volume growth, this is despite all these changes which we see in the distribution or in the reduced taxation or reduced pricing of this product in a lot of states. This is despite that we are calling out 6 to 8%.
So it's more on a constant basis of let's say regulation and policy. As I said, if there is more supportive policies in various states, then that number probably be higher, and vice versa.
And what kind of distribution outlet increase is happening by whatever policies have come through? So if I go back to our past calls and all, the distribution touch points were some 50,000-60,000 for the liquor industry as a whole. So is that changing?
80,000.
So is that number changing now with the policy changes?
No drastic change as of now.
So 3 years back also it is 80, even today it is 80? That's how it is?
Approximately, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Krishnan Sambamurthy from Motilal Oswal Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. While you have indicated faster growth in the premium segment, is there, this is one area where your market share has been lower than your overall market share. Has there been any evidence, particularly post opening up, of gains of market share gains on this front?
Yeah, the overall trend, I think, would not comment specifically on one quarter, but across the if we take COVID aside, I think we have been increasing the share in the premium segment, and this is also one of the key strategic pillars of the company. We do see a lot of consumers, of course, having an appetite for different products, for even higher priced products, so that's all very, very positive and in sync with the development of the Indian beer market, so hence a lot of our attention, a lot of our investments are behind the premium portfolio, and with that we have seen progressive increase in share in the premium segment, and that's what we continue to pursue.
Just a clarification, when you say progressive increase in share, you mean progressive increase in share of your sales or progressive increase in share compared to the rest of the market or the super premium segment?
So it's our share within the premium segment is increasing.
Sure. And just one final question on barley inventory. How many months of inventory, barley inventory do we have currently?
I don't want to call that out exactly, but to the earlier question, we have not covered the full position to the next peak season. So with that, we continue to look at the domestic availability and pricing also internationally, and then under that continuous review, we will take our procurement approach as to how to cover the open months till next year domestic crop becomes available.
Got it. Thanks.
Yep.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harit Kapoor from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. So I have two questions. You did mention that, you know, you see market share improvement in certain states, but at an overall level, on a YoY basis, have you seen market share improvement at a national level, or it's been consistent? Please share some trends with us.
Yeah, so our market share for the total portfolio in the quarter has been, let's say, on more positive levels that we normally see in quarter one. So that is a little bit below prior quarters, where we're at kind of 53%. Now we're closer to the 50%. That also has to do not so much, I would say, with consumer demand for brands, but more with sourcing and supply and some of the restrictions that we mentioned earlier in the call, that there could be either capacity limitations or sourcing, let's say, bans from various states due to the high demand seen in a couple of the months.
So this share reduction would have been more a function of, or the share gain that you would have seen and that competitors would have seen this quarter would basically the regional players in that state would have been able to supply, would have gained at your cost. Would that be the way to think about it?
Yeah, I think... of course, there are, let's say, differences state by state, but on an overall level, I would say the majority of this share movement is indeed driven by sourcing and supply, and hence a market participant that had ample capacity or a more direct route to market were, of course, favored versus some of the restrictions that we saw.
And my last question is on the state mix. Now, so Ben, how do you kind of look at it? Is quarter one seeming a little more exceptional in terms of the extent of the negative state mix? Is it a base effect, or is it just structurally some of these states seem to be doing, a bit better than what some of the high margin states are doing? And how do you think about it? Is it short term fluctuation or is it slightly more medium term that some of the low margin states seem to be in driving volumes?
I think it's a bit of a combination. So one is base effect, of course, where last year was quite impacted. Secondly, a number of policy improvements, etc., are observed the number of these states as well. Thirdly, the peak season, for example, high temperatures that we saw in Rajasthan, in UP, etc., also play a role. So a number of these are, of course, more short-term, and one would not necessarily expect them to continue in quarters to come. So in the end, it's a combination of more incidental during the quarter impact, but also a few elements where it's more policy driven, and of course that element will continue.
Great. That's it for me. I'll hand it over to Margaret to close the call.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harit Kapoor for closing comments.
Thanks, Margaret. We'd just like to thank the management of United Breweries for taking out time for this call, as well as all the participants on the call for taking out their time, and hand over the call for any closing comments to Darren.
Thank you very much, Harry. Thank you for hosting us, and I would like to thank everybody for their interest, their questions, and
I wish you all a very good day. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you will now disconnect your line.